Jamie Locker with you here on a Monday edition of the Green Zone. Of course, weather-wise today, we will be keeping an eye on all things yellow watches and out there today around Saskatoon. It is our tornado watch around Saskatoon with a special weather statement looking at funnel clouds. Of course, photos being shared of funnel clouds potentially in that area. Regina has a watch as well, so for severe thunderstorms this afternoon. Anything you believe needs to be passed along to those listeners.
You saw some of the pictures.
Yeah. You can see it with the funnel clouds are always a little worrisome, but we'll keep an eye out for you from Environment Canada, and you can keep an eye on the sky for us in Texas at 1-877-332-8255. We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports stories. And a great 24 hours if you're a Kachuk. Brady Kachuk is now a Florida Panther.
Back to Claude Giroux, back across to Kachuk, shoots, scores! Brady Kachuk! Brady Kachuk! Breakaway shoots! Scores!
Kachuk! Brady shoots! Scores! Brady Kachuk! Overtime winner!
Yeah, none of those were in the playoffs, of course, because he didn't get any points for the Ottawa Senators. But Brady Kachuk traded last night from the Ottawa Senators to the Florida Panthers to join his brother. Kachuk goes to Florida after 8 years in Ottawa, 463 points over 572 games, was named the captain in 2021. This is the fifth U.S. Olympic player to ask for a trade in the last 6 months, joining Quinn Hughes, Dylan Larkin, Vincent Trocheck, and reports are Connor Hellebuck as well. Kachuk apparently gave four teams for a trade, but Steve Staios said it was really one team that he wanted to go
to. Yeah, he got bullied into it.
Which was Florida. What does Ottawa get in return? Well, Ottawa gets the ninth overall pick, the 25th overall selection that Florida actually acquired yesterday in a trade with the Seattle Kraken, then flipped it to Ottawa. So they get 925, a first rounder, a conditional first rounder in 2029, and a second rounder in 2030. And I said it's a good day, 24 hours to be a Kachuk, because it was just announced an hour ago, Papa is going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Keith Kachuk, one of the six to be inducted in the Hockey Hall of Fame today. The announcement was Keith, joined by builder Brian Burke, players Carey Price, Patrice Bergeron, Pekka Rinne, and the women's player is Cindy Curley, who was a star of that U.S. international team in the early 90s in those epic clashes against the Canadian side. She actually led the World Hockey Championships with 25 points back in 1992. So those are the six people being inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Locker and I have many thoughts. We'll get into it in a minute.
Yeah.
On Brady Kachuk's trade to the Florida Panthers.
I'm just glad I can cheer for a Canadian team that I didn't cheer for this year.
Yeah, you can. If Ottawa goes on a run,
yeah,
you
can, I can cheer for the Sens
for them now. That's nice.
All right. CFL, the Rough Riders, 2-0 after a double OT thriller in Cowtown.
To the right side, Stevens in for the touchdown. It's Tommy Stevens and the Saskatchewan Roughriders pull it out in overtime.
My boy, Tommy Tsunami, getting the winner there. The Riders blew a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. Trevor Harris threw three touchdowns, no interceptions for the second straight game. KSB caught two touchdowns. He nearly got a third in OT, but stopped at the one. What did you say? KSB has 295 yards receiving in just two games?
Second best in Rider history in the first two games.
We don't know any details on AJ Ouellette at this point, but he left the game with a lower body injury and did not return. And it doesn't look good for Juju Hughes. It looks like an Achilles injury, so that's a tough one. His first CFL game, and he gets injured. The Riders take on the Argos. This is that Toronto game that's supposed to be a home game, but it's a Riders game because of the World Cup schedule this year. So that is on Friday, 7 o'clock start. Pre-game show right here on the Green Zone. Starts at 5 o'clock. So there you go.
And in
Friday
golf
games. Love it.
First Friday night tailgate. 2 o'clock it opens for the tailgating on Friday. Ask the boss to get out early. And remember, to go to the tailgate, you don't necessarily need a ticket, right? Just hang out.
That's what I did. Wander around until somebody hands you a beer.
It's a top-notch strategy there. Go get a Belton, apparently.
A Belton? I need a Belton in my life. That is what I'm going to drink this Friday.
You're going to search for the Belton at the tailgate.
Karen, right?
Karen, yep.
Okay, Karen. Watch for me.
Locker's going to be running. Karen, I need a Belton. Where's Karen? I need a Belton.
Again.
That'll be Locker. And he'll be wearing his jersey that says Locker on the back. So that's another.
Don't put it past
mine. Okay, let's get to golf. Wyndham Clark goes wire to wire to take the U.S. Open.
Yeah! And it's wire to wire for Wyndham.
Let's go, go!
And a second U.S. Open championship.
A little closer than he would have liked. He had a 6-shot lead going into Sunday, and it was down to one real quick. By the sixth hole, he only had a one-shot lead. Of course, he beat out Sam Burns by a one shot. Not quite the fan favorite as Wyndham Clark. You remember last year when he missed the U.S. Open cut, he trashed his locker. He like kicked the door in. He had to pay Oakmont a bunch of money to repair the locker room.
Oh, I remember that.
Last week in Canada, he was getting booed by the Canadian crowd because of, well, that. And then yesterday, he's teeing off and people are yelling, "Get the bunker!" He was not a fan favorite. But he wins the U.S. Open. After the round, he did say, I'm trying to carry myself with as much respect after what I did last year, so he's trying to win some fans back. People were rooting for Scottie Scheffler to get the career Grand Slam, of course. Clark's second U.S. Open title. He also won it back in 2023.
All right, World Cup, a star-studded day again at the World Cup.
Messi, first time in a little bit of space for him. Lionel Messi, it's on the end, it scores!
A guilt-wrapped opportunity then for Erling Haaland. It's his first. It will not be his last.
Mbappe, Thuram, Mbappe! Oh, wow!
Messi breaks the World Cup record with his 17th career World Cup goal. Miroslav
Klose.
Klose. Okay, Klose. The German, he had obviously 16, and then Messi quickly adds to it with an 18th goal. Messi has scored all 5 goals for Argentina in his World Cup this time around. That was the first matchup of the day, Argentina over Austria, 2-0 the final there. France and Iraq at 3 o'clock, Norway, Senegal at 6, and then Jordan and Algeria at 9 o'clock tonight, so the late one. Over the weekend, the 18-year-old star, Lamine Yamal, scored his first career World Cup goal in a 4-0 win over Spain. So they continue to roll. And of course, we're keeping an eye on Canada. They continue to train today. They got a huge matchup against Switzerland on Wednesday to close out the group stage. So a win or a draw, because they've got the goal differential on Switzerland, will put Canada at the top of Group B, and that sets them up for the next round of 32 based out of Vancouver. So that'll keep them in Vancouver, that win, mm-hmm. So they're kind of focused on that.
Huge game coming up on Wednesday. When Yamal scored,
yeah.
I was watching with my son, and I said, in 20 years, there's going to be a debate where Yamal is on the Messi-Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Scale on greatness. That kid's something. So his first World Cup goal, as you said, for Spain in that 4-0 win. And meanwhile, the Regina Pats have found their head coach. It is David Bell.
It was a real easy choice for me to pick to come here to, like I said, a great franchise, a franchise going in a real good direction, with real good people running it.
David Bell, of course, comes over from the Belleville Senators. He's 49 years old. That's Ottawa Senators AHL affiliate. He's also coached in the OHL before with Niagara, Sudbury, Barrie, spent a time with other teams in the American Hockey League and the East Coast Hockey League as a player. He was a 7-year pro hockey player as well. He replaces Brad Haroff, who coached the Pats for 2 seasons. Of course, Haroff was a longtime assistant before that. So there you have it. The Regina Pats have found their new head coach. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, Locker and I have some thoughts, and they're probably not overly positive on the direction of the National Hockey League with Brady Tkachuk getting dealt from Ottawa to Florida.
I think something needs to be done. I think the league needs to step in. We'll get into it more here in a minute. But
yeah, let's sign a no-trade clause, and then the player says, I only want to go to one team.
I love your idea.
I do have a fresh idea for general managers, if you want to take my opinion. That charge is $100,000 a contract. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Well, the news came in yesterday. You want to look over at the board there, Locker? Brady Tkachuk gone this summer. Locker said that April 24th. Put another one on the board for Locker on Brady Tkachuk's departure from Ottawa.
I wasn't sure about Austin Matthews, but we talked about him around the same time, being in a similar boat, American captain, getting booed in Canada after, you know, the Olympics and whatnot. The Austin Matthews one didn't seem as obvious to me, but I was pretty sure that that Tkachuk family would bully their way into a Brady trade.
And you say bully, and that's exactly what feels happened. Like. Steve Staios said he wanted to work with Brady Tkachuk. He wanted to make this a long-term partnership. But last month he met with Brady, and Brady asked for a trade. He gave him 4 teams, apparently. But Steve Staios said today it was pointed out in one direction on where he wanted to go. So Staios is pretty happy. He got a 9th, 25th, a future first, and a future second for Brady Tkachuk, their former 4th overall selection in the draft. But this is a problem. Like, I'm having, and I think hockey fans are having a lot of problems with players signing no trade clauses.
Yeah.
And then giving the team zero wiggle room to make a trade that's fair.
So Florida knows that Brady wants out and is
Well, how would they know that? Their general manager was the assistant GM of the U.S. Olympic hockey team, and his brother's on the Florida Panthers. How would they ever know what Brady was thinking? Like, that's where I'm like, where's tampering start to come into these conversations?
So, exactly. And again, when you start to break down these trades and you see that Ottawa, not in a rebuild stage, gets nothing but picks, didn't get a roster player, you know that Florida dug their heels in and said, nope, this is what you get. We're getting Brady. And then they get a really good player, and Ottawa gets bent over by Florida again, right? And I think at some point when you have an unbalanced situation like this and certain teams are benefiting from it, the league needs to step in and create rules that change how things move forward.
Well, general managers have to get smarter. Like, general managers, and I put this on social media.
They got to get meaner.
Well, yeah, if a guy wants a deal and he's only giving you 1 or 2 teams, well, too bad, so sad. You either play for me until I can get a trade or widen your team list. And this is where GMs have to get smarter. If a player has a no-trade clause, you should put a clause in the contract that if that player initiates the trade, if he comes to you, if he comes to you and says, I want out,
I like to
okay,
say
automatically that no-trade clause is either null or void, or It is a 16, like half the league. You have to give me half the league you're willing to go to.
Yeah.
If the player initiates that trade, like GMs get smarter because the players are owning you right now.
Or get meaner. I think Yzerman, like, there's no way Yzerman would have taken this deal. There's no way he would have. And if Brady was a, let's say Yzerman was the GM of,
because he's
and
I'm dealing not with Dylan Larkin.
I'm not blaming Steos. Yep. I'm saying I would not be surprised if Yzerman sits Larkin and says, tough.
Give me more teams.
Yeah.
And you can get a trade. That's what GMs need to do going forward.
I think so.
Jamie Locker with you here on this Monday afternoon on the Green Zone. Of course, we do have severe weather watches around the province of Saskatchewan and the Regina area. It's a severe thunderstorm watch. Around Saskatoon, there is a tornado watch. Now, keep in mind, this is not a warning, but a watch, and also a special weather statement for funnel clouds around the Saskatoon area as well. So we'll keep you up to date on any severe weather you need to know about. And of course, you can be our eye on the sky as well by texting 1-877-332-8255 with any severe weather you're seeing in the province today.
I love getting the pictures and videos. Yeah, you can send crazy weather
pictures and video on that text line as well. But right now we're talking about a storm of another variety, and that is the storm surrounding the U.S. men's hockey team and all these trade requests. What a wild group chat that must be, as Brady Tkachuk is off to Florida to join his brother Matthew. Jim Berenger joins us from Full Press Hockey here on the Green Zone. Jim, up here in Canada, we're growing a little bit concerned with how many Americans don't want to play in Canada, but do you see any issue with the amount of trade requests that are coming and with limited teams that are being put up? It's like, okay, another one, and it's only Vegas, Florida. Now Minnesota's crept in there as well. Carolina, Dallas. Like, that seems like the only five teams anybody wants to be traded to. Do you think this is going to be an issue going forward in the NHL?
Jamie and Logan, first off, thanks for having me on as always. Yeah, I think it is going to be a concerning trend because these guys want to go win. And as you said, the Team USA group chat, the locker room during the Olympics, even dating back to Four Nations, it was a college football recruiting trip. That's basically what it turned into. Guys want to play with each other. Top stars want to play with each other. And it's clear Brady Tkachuk said he didn't want to play in Ottawa no more. He wanted to go play with his brother down in Florida. And it's good to see Minnesota in this mix because it took some time, but they're building a winner. But also, who's there? The GM of Team USA and Bill Guerin. I think we kind of started to see Columbus kind of make this trend of teams outside of the normal when the late, great Johnny Gaudreau signed there, kind of brought Sean Monahan there. They started to be an attraction for some players, but, you know, again, winning attracts players, right? These guys want to win, and unfortunately, the list of their buddies is only, it's Vegas, Carolina, Dallas. That's where their buddies are, and same in Minnesota. So I expect the list to grow. I think certain goaltender in Winnipeg's list is a little bit longer than just four or five teams, but again, even if it's longer than that, he wants to go win. He doesn't want to go to just some team that has a chance to win.
You brought up Hellebuck, so let's stay there, Jim. Let's zero in on that. Do you think that the Hellebuck situation, because we're hearing mixed reports that he may have asked for a trade, but then there's also reports that he didn't, that it's just assumed that because he was on that team that now he wants a trade. Do you think the Hellebuck situation is much different than the Tkachuk situation in that maybe there is a little bit more flexibility for Winnipeg, or do you think it's a different in personalities as far as the GMs go?
Yeah, I think, first off, I think the Hellebuck situation is different than Brady Tkachuk because I think he wants to go win. He kind of made that clear at the end of the season, and I think that's what everybody got everybody's antennas up, is He's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to get guys here. I like Winnipeg. It's my home. But, you know, let's be honest here. Getting free agents is a tough thing, and it's kind of we took a step back. And he was promised and expected to win every year and contend. Well, the Winnipeg Jets, let's be honest, are not really a contender next year, not in that central division, not with the pieces that they need. They need more on the back end. They need a number two center. They still got to sign Cole Perfetti. Kevin Cheveldayoff has to be listening to offers on Connor Hellebuck that are, you know, longer than four teams. Maybe Buffalo's in the mix. Maybe New Jersey's in the mix.
Yeah.
You know, Carolina's definitely in the mix. I think the return will be better than what Ottawa got. They definitely need players back to help them now and contend. It's a different situation in Winnipeg because I think Kevin Cheveldayoff can wait. Brady Tkachuk put a trade request in. Now, Hellebuck probably did, but again, there's mixed reports about it. But he wants to win, and he wants to win badly, and I don't think he thinks he can do it in Winnipeg.
Jim Berger joins us. Full Press Hockey is where you can find his work. Now, when it comes to Brady Tkachuk and the Ottawa Senators, this deal includes two first-rounders coming up this week on night one of the NHL draft, the 9th and 25th overall selection. Of course, Ottawa also has 32. That's the one they initially lost, but then they got it back, but have to pick at the end of round one. Do you think, Jim, later this week, that night, Steve Staios is announcing the 9th overall selection, or do you think there's a trade a brewing again in the next few days?
I think there's a trade brewing. I think he's getting calls. I mean, I was watching his press conference from Ottawa today where he explained that Brady Tkachuk had put a trade request in and his phone was going off. In the middle of a press conference, you don't get that too often from a National Hockey League general manager, phone going off in the middle of a press conference. He's getting calls on the 9th overall pick. He's getting calls on the 25th overall pick. I think he's going to use that in a package to get a goal scorer. Maybe he uses one to get a winger. Maybe he uses another one to get a defenseman. The Ottawa Senators want to reshape their back end. You know, they like Jordan Spence, but how much do they like him? They've been trying to get another guy to go with, you know, Artem Zub and Shabbat and Sanderson because that's their top three there. But from four on down, it isn't the best. So if they can bring in a Rasmus Ristolainen type, maybe, you know, they circle back on Colton Parenko or they try to find or sign a free agent. That's what they're looking to do. But if they can make a trade for a goal scorer or a young player like Mason McTavish with term, or do they offer sheet somebody, they're going to look to do it or make a trade, say, you know, because they've been connected to Jason Robertson right now. If they can convince Robertson with the money to bring him up there, I expect them to use those first-round picks as ammunition and make a trade. I don't expect them to be selecting 9th overall at all at the NHL draft on this Friday.
Jim, what do you think happens first with the league? Because this has got to be driving Bettman nuts because it's clear and outright tampering. Do you think they deal with that, or do you think he eventually succumbs to the fact that there's an imbalance of power for the teams that are no tax? Do you think he deals with this tampering issue, or do you think he deals with the no tax issue first? Pure speculation. I understand that, but it's a conversation people are going to start having, I think.
I think you got to deal with the tampering issue first. The no tax situation, that's on the states themselves. The National Hockey League really can't do anything about local governments and local state officials when it comes to no taxes. That's on the state's prerogative down here south of the border. I mean, that's up to them, whether they have no state income tax or no state income tax. That's not on the National Hockey League. And also, let's be honest, for 30 years, the Florida Panthers weren't good, had that advantage. There are teams in Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NFL that have the same advantages as National Hockey League teams and stink. So I think that can be thrown out the window. I do think they have to deal with the tampering. But the problem is these guys can talk in hypotheticals all they want. And what are they going to do, tap phones? It's kind of hard to do that. But I think the fact of the matter is players are talking more and more when they're going and representing their country and being in the same locker room and say, oh, hey, cool, wouldn't it be cool if we're here? Wouldn't it be cool there? I think the bigger issue is it's outright open on podcasts. I think that's the problem. Because if you look at it, Brady Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk have a podcast. Keith Tkachuk's on there. They're talking about, oh, you should come down and play in Florida. You know, that's the bigger issue, and I think that's something that they're going to have to corral moving forward. Players can talk all they want. That's what they do. but I think when it's outright in the open, they're going to have to take a stance on it.
I could just cancel that podcast, but that's fine with me. Jim Berger.
I have.
Jim Berger's joining us, Full Press Hockey.
I'd rather remove my own foot than listen to that family talk. Well, like, literally, give me a nice...
That next podcast?
Sit down.
Think about what that next podcast is going to
be. I won't be watching.
It's going to be a party. Keith Kachuk's going to the Hall of Fame, and Brady and Matthew are playing together. That's a heck of a 24 hours for the Kachuk family.
Get me a pair of scissors.
But, Jim, when you look at now, put Brady there, and a healthy Alexander Barkov, do you think there's a pretty good chance the Kachucks are going to get exactly what they want, maybe as soon as next June, which is sharing a Stanley Cup parade?
Yeah, I think you have to put the Florida Panthers as the clubhouse leader right now, just because of the additions, the depth they have, the line combinations they could put out. I mean, you have a third line still of Anton Lindell, Utu Lehtinen, and Brad Marchand. I mean, you have Evan Rodriguez there, the Kachucks with Sam Bennett, or they're playing with Barkov. You have Sam Reinhart and Carter Verhaeghe, and their D is unbelievable with Ekblad. You have Kulikov back there. So many guys, Seth Jones. I mean, the only weakness right now is who's playing goalie for them, right?
Yeah, it's going to be Hellebuck. It could be Hellebuck.
It could be Hellebuck. It could be, you know, imagine if it was Stuart Skinner coming and playing goalie for the Florida Panthers after the...
Throw arrogance in there as a weakness as well, Jim. But, I mean, I don't want to get in the way of your momentum here.
No, it's all good. No, it'd be kind of funny that if it was Stuart Skinner that was being the goalie of the Florida Panthers after falling to them in the Stanley Cup final. But I think, and I got to believe, that they're working on Hellebuck. They're probably going to work on Jordan Binnington. But that's their one weakness right now, who's playing goalie. It doesn't matter, because if they can stop the puck and prevent teams from scoring on them and protect their goaltender, that's what their system is. They have a great system. You saw it when Bobrovsky was on his game, or Alex Lyon, or Anthony Stolarz. They limited pucks, make timely saves, and be in the offensive zone. It doesn't matter who's playing goalie back there. They're the clubhouse leader to win the Stanley Cup.
What do you think needs to happen to slow the roll of this? Do you think a guy like Yzerman, do you think he will? Do you think he'll make an example out of Larkin?
Yeah, that's the big one, right? Like, he wants to go to Minnesota. I doubt Florida can do it now, because they don't want to move Anton Lundell. They didn't want to move him to Winnipeg. They don't want to move him to Ottawa. I think if you're Steve Yzerman, you can wait on Larkin as long as you want, because like Matt Duchene in Colorado all those years ago, Joe Sakic didn't want to be pushed around. He got the Nashville Predators involved. He got the Ottawa Senators involved, and he got what he wanted. And I think that's what Steve Yzerman is going to do. He said he doesn't have a problem starting a year with Larkin on his team.
Oh, I'd bench him too. Dress him and just sit him at the end of the bench.
I mean,
sit there and
stew. If you want to win games to get in the playoffs, I don't know if you can sit him, but I think the attitude has to change. I mean, look.
Something's got to change.
If I'm the coach there, I do it. But again, I think he's going to wait it out, get the best offer, get a third team involved. And if he does that and get some roster players and a couple of first-round picks, that's the best thing for Steve Yzerman right now, because why wait and send him to wherever he wants to go, like a Vegas or Minnesota?
Yeah. GM's got to get smarter with those no-trade clauses. I say if a player comes to you and says, hey, I want to trade, it's null and void. That no-trade clause, put it in as a clause that if you trigger the trade, you lose your no-trade clause. Because, my goodness, it's getting annoying. I'll be honest with it. That's where I'm at on that. Well, Jim,
it's just gross.
It's going to be an interesting week. Free agency's coming up, trades being made. Oh yeah, and there's a draft coming up this weekend too. We'll see where Toronto goes. It's likely going to be Gavin McKenna. But Jim, thanks so much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks, Jim. That was awesome.
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. Thanks, Jamie Locker. Have a great week.
That is Jim Berger joining us, Full Press Hockey here on the Green Zone. Coming up next. Speaking of drafts, a very, 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 very memorable draft 35 years ago today. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Pitch Farm remembers.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Here comes Bailey. He's got it.
for me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
But you better promise me I'll be back in time.
On this day in sports history, some NHL draft history for you. In a couple of days, the NHL is going to converge on Buffalo, New York for the 2026 NHL entry draft. 35 years ago today, they were in Buffalo, New York for the NHL entry draft for this famous number one pick.
The Quebec Nordiques are very proud to select as first pick overall in the 1991 NHL annual draft, from the Oshawa Generals of the OHL, Eric Lindros.
Yes, it was the day the Quebec Nordiques changed their franchise forever by drafting Eric Lindros. Of course, he didn't want to play for Quebec, had no interest. He opted to play for the national team, played in the 92 Olympics. And then a year after the 91 draft, June 30th, 1992, the Quebec Nordiques pulled off the blockbuster. Eric Lindros goes to Philly for Steve Duchesne, Peter Forsberg, Ron Hextall, Kerry Huffman, Mike Ricci, Chris Simon, future considerations, a first-round pick in 1993, a first-round pick in 1994, and a lot of money. And, of course, Peter Forsberg would help.
Yeah.
Win a Stanley Cup or two. Of course, that draft pick was Jocelyn Thibault. Do you remember who they traded Jocelyn Thibault for? Patrick Waugh.
That's right.
So Eric Lindros didn't want to play for Quebec.
Basically won the Avalanche a
couple of Stanley Cups.
And he did not win one.
Yeah, he didn't win one. But on this day, 35 years ago, the Quebec Nordiques draft Eric Lindros.